Thanks, Greg. Yes, we've caught up with the Los Angeles Guitar Quartet. Wow, that was wonderful.
Thank you very much. Such a thrill to be here in Philadelphia playing with this wonderful historic orchestra.
Well, before we get started, would you each introduce yourselves?
I'm Scott Tennant.
I'm Bill Kannengeisser.
Hi, I'm John Dierman.
I'm Matt Greif.
And I understand that Scott grew up in Detroit, Bill grew up in Orange, New Jersey, John's from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and Matt is from Oklahoma. Is that right?
Yes, Oklahoma and a few other places, right. I'm all mixed up.
So how did you all get together?
This is Bill here. We all were drawn to Los Angeles at the University of Southern California because of the sort of magnetic pull of a great guitarist named Pepe Romero. And he was teaching there in the late 70s, early 80s, and it really made USC like the place to be, the place to study guitar. And we started as just a student group. In fact, we had a class called Guitar Ensemble that was required. And we like to say that, you know, 38 years later, we're still trying to pass the class. But there's an interesting symmetry to this because it was for Pepe's group, Pepe's quartet, which was Pepe, his father, and his two brothers, Angel and Celine, that this piece, The Andaluz, was composed. And so they it was written for them by Rodrigo. They did the world premiere, and it's sort of a tribute to them that we love playing this piece. It represents Malaga, which is where they were all from in southern Spain, and Andalusia, and it allows us to sort of channel our inner Romero.
So you worked with them playing this piece originally.
Yeah. Hi, this is John. We didn't play this piece when we were actually studying with Pepe. I think what happened was that when, you know, we were students, we were all studying with him, and Pepe being a member of the world's most famous and most experienced, really the only professional guitar quartet, he at one point said, hey, why don't the four of you make a quartet, and then I can show you some of the tricks I've learned, you know, playing in quartets over the years. But it wasn't until much later that we took on this piece. But in the beginning, we did sort of... The Romeros were our inspiration, and so we sort of modeled ourselves after them. And it was only some years later that we thought we needed to find our own identity as a group, and that's when we got into doing world music and, you know, jazz and Latin music and that whole thing. So not always just classical music.
Are each of your guitars the same range? John?
Yeah. Well, yeah, first of all, it is kind of unique in a way to have a quartet that's composed of exactly the same instrument, right? Like, yeah. Normally you're going to see violins mixed with violas and cellos. So the guitar quartet's unusual in that sense. And so after a couple of years of playing together, I was talking with a guitar builder friend of mine, and we came up with the idea for him to build me a guitar that had extra strings on it. So we ended up deciding on just one extra string, so it's a lower string, goes about a fifth lower than the normal low string on the guitar. So yeah, I play a seventh string guitar.
So what's it like playing with an orchestra, and specifically, what's your experience been like in Philadelphia? Matt?
Well, I mean, this is, as Scott said, an historic orchestra. It's a real honor to be playing with them. They sound amazing. The hall is beautiful. I grew up playing a little violin, so did Scott. So I love, when I play with an orchestra, it actually kind of feels like home, you know, because I played an orchestra a lot growing up. So it's fantastic. I mean, it's an amazing experience. As far as Philadelphia goes, we've been here a few days before the performance, and I think I've walked about 7 miles a day. I've seen all the historic sites and some museums, and you know, this is a fun city to just walk around in. You know, you can just pick a street and walk down it and find all sorts of amazing stores and experiences, restaurants. It's a fantastic city.
It's very walkable. You can sort of see how William Penn laid it out a couple of centuries ago. Guitar is, on one hand, so ubiquitous, and so many people have played the guitar at some point in their lives. Does classical guitar refer to the instrument or the repertoire? Scott?
A little bit of both. I think initially I would say it refers to the repertoire, but the guitar sort of changed to what it is now because it's more advantageous to play that repertoire on this type of guitar. For instance, we use nylon treble strings as opposed to steel strings. That makes it easier to pluck the strings with our fingernails on our right hand. And because we have some fingernails on our right hand, we can get more colors. For me, they go hand in hand.
This is Bill. You know, for a long time, it was just called the Spanish guitar. And that sort of defined it as, you know, the archetypal, you know, flamenco-oriented or guitar associated with Spain. So the idea that, well, calling it classical guitar, as Scott mentioned, you know, it's defined by the nylon strings and using the fingers independently with nails. But calling it classical guitar broadened it. But now, you know, we are as likely to play classical music on it as jazz or African music or anything. So I'm not sure what we should call it now. It's you know, because stylistically we can do almost anything with it. And I think one of the things that really excites us about the guitar is that it's so universal. Almost every culture has a sort of relative of the guitar that can reflect it. So it's the perfect instrument for crossing over to different styles. And we do consider ourselves classical musicians in that we trained as classical musicians, you know, and we try to play music that's, you know, got a more, you know, sort of sophisticated quality, but we'll play anything.
Well, in the Rodrigo that we just heard, which was so wonderful, and the interplay between the orchestra and your ensemble, what was, or how do you think of it? Is it a story that you're telling, or is it John?
Yeah, this is John. The piece is in some ways, I think that on the first listen or the first glance at the piece, it seems kind of simple in some ways, but that's kind of looking at it the wrong way, because it's purely a folkloric idea. I mean, the first movement is a bolero, kind of Spanish dance. It isn't necessarily from flamenco, but it's in the long into the ancient Spanish tradition of music. The third movement is a help me, Sevillanas, right? Yeah, which is also, it's not really the most flamenco of flamenco dances, but it is a flamenco dance. It's actually a Spanish folkloric dance. The second movement is just a straight out beautiful, what would we call that?
This is Bill. I would call it a pasacaglia. It's essentially based on a you know, this kind of Baroque idea of a moving bass line, and it's, whereas the first and third movements are basically a big party. it's like going to Spain for a couple hours. The second movement really captures a sort of Andalusian blues, to my way of thinking. It's just represents a real soul, you know, an aching soul, that, you know, sort of yearning kind of section. And the orchestra is just this sort of almost spectral pad that the guitar lines float above. And then finally, when the melody comes out with full orchestral treatment, it's, you know, it's one of those killer melodies. And then sort of incongruously, we have a very fun and bright cadenza right in the middle of it before it returns back to this deep desolation. And yeah, and then finally, it's a big party again.
Cool. Going forward, you've done so many different kinds of music. You have this really exciting career, and you also are doing things individually. What are you most excited about coming up?
This is Matt. We had a piece written for us by the great jazz guitarist Pat Metheny a couple years ago, so we've been playing that. We actually recorded it with him producing, so we're looking forward to the release of that, hopefully within a year and a half. The Metheny piece is called Road to the Sun, and that's been the next big thing for us.
Well, congratulations on all your successes, and we're so excited to have you here in Philadelphia. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes to talk.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
My pleasure.
Thank you.